This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love. Amen. Please be seated. In church speak, today's gospel is called the farewell discourse. It's Jesus saying goodbye, trying to prepare his disciples and his followers for the time when he wasn't going to be with them anymore. And it's like this whirlwind of seven major points jammed into this one little gospel. And this is just the beginning. You're going to hear this not only today. And there's seven points, but I am just going to focus mainly on two, but it's important to name all seven. So the first is, do not let your hearts be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you know my Father. Believe in me, and greater works will you do. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. So that's kind of a lot, right? I mean, there's about a zillion sermons in each of those points, just so you know. You might be here a couple of days. The first one, though, I'd like to look at, do not let your hearts be troubled. So before anything, he wants us to be at peace. He wants us to be still and know that he is God. So it's peace in the present. The second one, I go and prepare a place for you, is about peace in the future. It's about peace in the hereafter beyond this world. And the assurance of God's presence with us no matter what. In my Father's house, there are many, many rooms. There's room for everyone. And in the King James Version, this beautiful phrase of, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. It's like this Middle Eastern exaggeration for more than enough room for everyone. Everyone. So peace in the present, peace in the future. Now, the two points I want to take a little time on are these next two, the third one and the fourth one. The third one is Jesus telling them how to navigate this life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because they were saying, we don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. What do you mean we're going to know the way? Good old Thomas speaks out loud the things that many of us, frankly, all of us probably, have asked one way or another. And Thomas just speaks it out. It's like in a meeting, the person that asked that question that nobody wants to ask. I don't know why we do that, but it's true, right? And then we all are listening. Well, that was how it was. Way was a standard Hebrew concept for the lifestyle one chooses to live. The lifestyle one chooses to live. The way of Jesus. Listen to these two scholars and sacred holy men and their explanation of this one point. Father Thomas Keating, who's this amazing Benedictine monk, wrote a book called Open Mind, Open Hearts, one of many, and in it he wrote, what Jesus proposed to his disciples as the way is his own example, the forgiveness of everything and everyone and the service of others in their needs. Love one another as I have loved you. This is the way of Christ. And now from Marcus Borg, no matter your religion or lack of religion, no matter your background, this way of Jesus is a universal way, now listen to this part, known to millions who have never even heard of Jesus. I want to say that again. It's a universal way known to millions who have never even heard of Jesus. It's pretty cosmic. It's kind of like that song we heard right before the gospel. It's kind of like John's gospel all the time. So now we go to this fourth point, which is probably one of the most dangerous lines in the entire Bible because it has been used to exclude and to oppress people over the centuries. And nothing could have been further from the truth. He's saying, if you know me, you will know my Father. You look at me and you see God incarnate, he's trying to say. God loved us so much that he came to earth for us. So if you see me, it's God in the entirety of God. So he's saying no one comes to the Father except through me, because I am the Father and the Father is in me. So we need to take the time to explore this because of the separation and the alienation. And if we took it literally, we would be excluding 2/3 of the world's population who are not Christians. 2/3 of the world's population. Does that mean they'll all never know God? Does that mean that they don't know God right now? It's pretty presumptuous of us to say so. We can be very narrow-minded if we use this passage in that way. Jesus was speaking to his own followers, saying, this is the way. You know me. You know how I am. Follow this way. This is the only way that you're going to have peace. It's the only way to my Father. The 9/11 memorial opened in New York this past week, and it brought to mind an episode. It was on TV in this series that's no longer on, called The West Wing. Some of you may have watched it. And Josh, who played the chief of staff, happened to be sequestered in a cafeteria in one of the episodes right after 9/11. There had been a scare, and they were on lockdown in the White House. And he was down in the cafeteria with a group of high school students that had been touring the White House. And so because they were on lockdown and they'd been hours and hours, some of you may have seen this episode, they started to ask him questions about what had happened on 9/11 and how could this be. And what Josh explained was that the terrorists, these extremist Islamists, are to Islam as the KKK is to Christianity. Right? The extreme Muslims profess to be of Islam, profess to be Muslim, but they were not acting out the Quran. The KKK profess to be Christians, but they were not Christians. They were not following the way. They were not. And those are just two examples over the centuries. They were not who they professed to be. Same thing happened recently. There were 300 young girls that were kidnapped in Nigeria a month ago. 24 escaped. 276 are still in captivity. And they were taken by these radical Islamists who are also persecuting Muslims, by the way, saying that, oh, you don't fit into our little box, and so we're going to kidnap these girls and do whatever we want. This kind of talk and separation is dangerous, and we can't point a finger at other religions and not look at ourselves as well. Look at the Crusades. Look what we did. It can be dangerous, and yet it's so freeing when we understand that Jesus was God incarnate, God with skin on, come to teach us about life and resurrection and truth and truth. No one comes to the Father except through me, truth. Former Washington National Cathedral Dean, the Reverend Sam Lloyd, said of this gospel, it's the strangest of things that this passage of such beauty and assurance, this picture of God's dwelling place as an unimaginably grand mansion with room enough for everyone, has also produced one of the harshest lines in our tradition when it seems to declare that non-Christians must somehow not be part of God's eternal love. End quote. Not the God that I know. And I was really troubled by this very issue when I was in seminary, and I asked one of my teachers, what about all the people that aren't Christians? What about that? And she gets this big smile on her face, and she was this little older lady with a bun, and she was just brilliant. with light and with intellect. And she said, oh, well, just because they don't know Jesus doesn't mean Jesus doesn't know them. And she went on her way, and that satisfied me. The next point, if you know me, you know God. It's kind of the same point, but he's saying it again, just in case we don't get it. This is our belief. This is our faith as Christians. He walked this earth with skin on to help us become more and more like him. There was this great man of God in the first century called Irenaeus, and he said, God became human that we might become more divine. Isn't that beautiful? God became human that we might become more divine. He wanted to help us. We just weren't getting it, and we still don't in a lot of ways. But we do in a lot of ways. And we are living the way of Christ. The sixth point, believe in me, and greater works will you do than these. Greater works. Knowing all of this, we can't help but see somebody in need and run to help them. God has this amazing empowerment that he's given to us as we walk this earth to go beyond the norm and to help people when we see a need. And we then are fed and nurtured. The last point, if in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. I will do it. So then we have to ask, what does in my name mean? Does it just mean if we say Jesus over and over again in our prayer, it's going to be like some magical incantation that we're going to get what we want? No. In my name is everything he stands for, his reputation, his way, this way of loving God and loving others as ourselves. If in my name, if it's of God, then you will be granted the power to be able to achieve it. May not be right away, but I will. In closing, the bottom line is following this way, this truth, and this life. And we go back to the very first thing Jesus said when he started this goodbye discourse. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Be still and know that I am God. And so I invite you to get comfortable. It's only about a minute long, but I'd like to play for you the video that we created last year that Micah created, Be Still and Know That I Am God. Let us pray.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be.